can't stay here. You can't be saved here. And they say, I come just as I am. Yeah, you come just as you are, but you don't arrive just as you were. Do you understand? Such were some of you fornicators, adulterers, liars, murderers. Such were some of you. But now you are cleansed. Now you are purified. Now you are sanctified through the blood of Christ. So, come along. Add to your faith. You got to take the next step. And it's not this big, hard thing, but it's just you need to be exhorted to do it. Because if you don't do it, it's going to be bad for you. You're going to end up in this state. You're a fornicator in the spirit. In the spirit. I will present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Oh, she's making the whole world drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's a lot of symbology there. The wine of the wrath. You know, drinking, we drink, eat and drink the blood of Christ, right? That means that we truly imbibe him. He is our life. He sustains our life. We, you know, you eat every day, don't you? Well, take in Christ every day. That's the whole point. We need to live off of him. Just like my analogy with the mountain guide. You've got to follow him. You've got to eat and drink his blood to be part of him. You want him to be part of you, you got to be part of him. So the horror imagery is of this woman who is supposed to be a virgin. And we talked about Antichrist in chapter 13. They're going to worship the dragon. He has on him the names of blasphemy. They're going to come in. I mean, they're going to... he is going to seduce them by making a show of himself that he is God. And they're going to believe. That's why it says they're going to be a great falling away first. Why do you think there's seven churches, five of them, Christ threatens, I'm going to take your candlestick out of its place. That's why he deals with us now. But there comes a point in which he stops dealing with us. Where our candlestick is removed out of our place, we go our way, we become the whore. And why? Well, according to the scriptures, and I covered it in the seven churches. What were they guilty of? Was it because they didn't know the secrets of... of the mysterious doctrines of this and that? No, I was always like, because you suffer that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. Why are all these young people I know who are Christians, supposedly, and they say they're Christians, they're all engaging in fornication, living with each other, sleeping with each other. And they, oh, we love God. Well, are you guys gonna get married? Oh, no, we're not even thinking of that yet. But we're carnally knowing each other. We ought to know better. Now, I wasn't any different when I was young, but the thing is, where did we get that? We were all loving Jesus. What was it in our cultural upbringing, in this Christian nation, that we somehow found that was the way it could be done? Because we suffer it in the church to be so. Because the doctrines do not exhort people to righteousness, but rather exhort them to complacency. Because that's how ministers like the congregation to be. They don't want people to be too zealous. It's too much of a burden. They want people to be kind of complacent. Come in, bring in the money, listen on Sunday, enjoy yourself, bring in the tithes, etc., and everything will be hunky-dory. That's what they want. That's what they mostly look for. They want people fired up for God. In what way? We want people really fired up for God to come to church. That's what it's for. And I have no doubt there are people out there working hard to instill, I know they have these abstinence movements and so on and so forth. And that's great. But, you have to ask, when so much sin is just winked at in the church, why do kids gotta be just the ones that gotta have this laid on them? You know, they're the ones, they've gotta abstain. You want your kid to abstain from fornication, why don't you abstain from the things you need to abstain from? Be temperate. It just seems to me that righteousness needs to start with the head of the household. And it needs to extend into all areas of his life. And then downward from there. But anyways, the churches that go astray become this whore. They were supposed to be chaste virgins to Christ, but the Antichrist comes, they receive him as God, as he claims to be, they worship him. You know, she is the king, queen of Babylon. Her husband is the king of Babylon, the one who desired to sit on the sides of the north. But the fornication reference is what really clarifies that this is someone who was supposed to be the bride of Christ, or a part of it. Now, the true bride of Christ is not that way. But, you know, like I said, he regards them as churches, right, before he removes their candlestick out of their place. And so he regards her as betrothed. And so now that she has gone into another, he regards her as a whore. You know, when Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, he was talking about blindness, and they said, well, are we also blind? And he said, well, you know what? If you were blind, then you'd have no sin. But because you say you see, your sin remains. And that's how God judges it. Oh, we know. We know. We know the gospel. We know what we're doing. We know what we're saying. Hey, the servants who knew their Lord's will, or said they did, and went astray will be punished with many stripes. But those who did not, with few. I don't want anyone to take comfort in that. I'm just saying that that's how it is. That's how it's going to be. So the great whore is going to be judged. And at this point, she will have fallen. Christ standing on Mount Zion, the king of the beast collapsing. All that was so wonderful and bright has become darkness and fear, and not the good kind. The wine of her fornication they shall drink. It means her fornication brewed something. When the false church goes after Antichrist, their sex, so to speak, will create an intoxicating beverage from which all the nations will drink and become drunk. They will enter an altered state of reality. Like someone who's drunk, it alters your perception. And they will become drunk and lose their minds in the midst of the joyous rejoicing of this sort of union. All the nations are going to become drunk with her fornication. When all these pastors go, all these famous pastors, I'll tell you what, you know, what people, I get letters from people, you know, and I preach things a little different than a lot of people do. And, you know, and my view of these pastors is get in line. Because if you do not, when you lead your congregations to the false Christ, and the thing is, no amount of pre-knowledge